So today's Torah portion, and this is sort of a continuation of what happened last time, Moses is telling Israel, you guys are about to change spiritual regimes. You're going from a type one, which is the wilderness, where you have open miracles in the very presence of God in your camp, and you're going to a type two, which is Israel in the land. There's no longer going to be this pillar of cloud in the middle of the camp and so forth. And nature will respond to the spiritual condition of Israel. So when Israel is doing well, there'll be rain and peace and all that kind of stuff. When Israel goes into apostasy, we have drought, we have enemies, you know, Midianites all over the place and so forth. So nature and the world respond to Israel's spiritual state in the land. And what Moses is doing is telling them, all right, you're used to the wilderness because that's where you grew up. You're going into something new now. And this is how you behave in that new place in order to thrive. So what we've got today is he's talking about justice in the court system. And you all remember back in Exodus when Jethro came into the camp and Moses was sitting there judging the people all by himself all day. And Jethro says, this is going to wear both you and them out. You need to appoint subordinates. So Moses did. But in the wilderness, Moses sort of represents the Supreme Court. In other words, as things are too difficult for somebody to understand, they can come to Moses, and Moses has got a direct pipeline to God. That's going to change, because Moses is not going into the land with them. So they've got to set up a system of courts and judges to handle disputes that arise among people by nature. That's going to happen. And understand now, this is how you set things up so that you have the best chance of succeeding. Because Moses, who's the Supreme Court, the direct line to God, isn't going to be there anymore. Now let me read the passage in Deuteronomy 16 for you. It's very interesting. And by the way, I got this insight from a rabbi named Ari Kahn on Aish, if you want to look him up. So I'm in 16:18. You shall appoint judges and officers in all your towns that the Lord your God has given you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality. You shall not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. Justice and only justice you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land that the Lord your God is giving you. All right, I'm going to pause there because the next one is 21, and we're talking about idols all of a sudden. And the fact that idols are just all of a sudden planted in the midst of that is significant, but I'll get back to that. There's two words in Hebrew that you don't see in English. Back in verse 18, you shall judge the people with righteous judgment. The two words there are tzaddik and mishpat. Mishpat is sort of a procedural thing. In other words, the court will follow the rules. Tzaddik is it will be right and righteous. Now, James, being a lawyer, I'm sure can attest to this. The legal procedure does not always produce justice. Even though you have gone through all the steps properly, the outcome may be unjust. So what is being said here is you follow the procedure, but you also come up with justice. Two different words. And then down in verse 20, justice and only justice, and that's tzaddik, tzaddik. In other words, get it right according to the laws of God. So what I want to talk about is how that all works and where we are today, which is not terribly good. So, three concepts here. One is legal procedure, and that's what the Bible calls mishpat. Okay? The other one is justice, which is tzaddik. And then the third one is not in the Bible, but it's in our society everywhere, and that's fair. So one, legal, second one is just, and the third one is fair. Let's go to tzaddik first. As you know, a couple weeks ago, Kay and I went to Boston to see my daughter and her children. Her husband, who's a good guy, is a Boston lawyer. He's a partner in a very large Boston legal firm. And he is into Greek philosophy. So he's talking to me about liberty and stuff like that and legal philosophy. And I kept looking at him and saying, that all sounds very good, but boy, what's standard? Well, the stuff everybody agrees are good. By what standard? Just what's right and good? By what standard? I was harassing him, obviously. But the point is, where do you get your standards of justice? And what God is saying is, the standard of justice is my word, period. Anything else is just somebody's idea, which may be okay, maybe not, but it is not a standard of justice that you can rely on. Because there is where we get to fair, and fair is entirely subjective. So if I set up laws based on what I think is fair as opposed to what God says is just, what you're going to wind up with is legal drift, and we wind up where we are now. So that was why I was harassing, because as I say, he's a very bright guy and he's a good guy, but he's focusing on the thing from the perspective of Greek philosophy. What do they say about how you make a good society? And I'm saying, well, Greeks are really bright guys, they're not stupid, but they don't have this grounding in Scripture. And what is right and just comes from the Creator, not from the creation. So, traffic laws. Are they just? There's a stop sign out there. Is it just for the law to say, you got to stop at that stop sign, look both ways before proceeding? How does that relate to the Bible? Well, it turns out that it does. Because one of the things that says in the Bible is if you dig a pit, you have a responsibility to mark it and put a fence around it so somebody doesn't stumble and fall into it. It also says if you build a house and you're going to have parties on your roof, you're responsible to have a fence around that so people don't get drunk and stumble off your roof and die. In other words, you have a responsibility to conduct yourself in the light of keeping your neighbors safe. So when you're driving a car, you've got somewhere between 2,000 and 5,000 pounds of metal flying down the road. You have a responsibility to make sure that you operate that so that you don't damage your neighbor. And so what we've done is we've said, all right, there's a stop sign. Stop and look. This is a residential area. You don't go batting through there at 90 miles an hour. Those are all just laws, because you can trace them back to biblical principles. So what Moses is saying here is all of your laws ought to be traceable back to principles that I have taught you in the Torah. So then we have, after what I read you, and still Deuteronomy 16, verse 20 again, justice and only justice, tzadik tzadik, you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land that the Lord your God has given you. You shall not plant any tree as an Asherah beside the altar of the Lord your God that you shall make, and you shall not set up a pillar which your Lord your God hates. Wait a minute. Why is that flopped in the middle? And we go on about stoning people who lead people astray and destroying small cities that go into God, and then we get back to Judges again. Why is that in the middle? The answer to that is because those represent different standards. An idol or a false god will introduce standards into your society that are contrary to Torah. That's why that little chunk is in the middle of all this legal stuff. It's telling you the standard comes from God. And all of your laws should be derived and easily traceable back to God's standards. Don't bring anybody into your society that's going to give you a different set of standards and is going to claim to be authoritative. Because these other gods are going to claim authority. They're going to say, you got to follow our rules. And what our rules lead to is eventually things like child sacrifice and temple prostitution and all sorts of other stuff which is abominable to the Lord. And so Moses is saying, here, I want you to get rid of all those people because those are the standards that they follow, And if you let them live among you, what they're going to do is they're going to bring their standards into your society, and eventually you're going to become just as corrupt as they are. That's what he's saying here. So that's what's going on, big picture, in this Torah portion. One of the things that it says over and over again is you will establish a court system. You got to have one. It's necessary for society to function. You got to have a legal system. And notice, by the way, that it says as you go through this, A, your justice standards are my standards, and B, if someone violates those standards, you will execute judgment. And there's a word in there, your eyes shall not pity. And everyone will hear and fear. So the goal in society is for people to behave righteously because they are righteous people. That's what we want. People aren't that way. Sorry to tell you this, folks, but there's lots of people that are not that way. And there's lots of people who are not internally righteous who will become well-behaved out of fear of retribution. Now, I got to confess, I have a lead foot when I drive. And I sort of creep up on the speed limit. And I've sort of figured out about how much I can exceed the speed limit and not run afoul of anybody. But my point is, there's a limit to how fast I drive because I really don't want to get stopped and have a ticket or something like that. I fear the law. It is not my nature because I've got a lead foot. You know, I'm here and I want to be there, and the faster we get there, the better it is. In Montana, there's no daylight speed limits. Oh, it was wonderful to drive through Montana. Decent roads, straight, and just as fast as your car would go, you could go. Same with the Autobahn in Germany, by the way. I enjoyed Germany. But anyway, the point is, there are traffic laws, and I would not drive unsafely, even though I drive fast. But the law says, yeah, I know, cowboy, you think you're being safe, but we're going to make sure that everybody stays below whatever the speed limit is. So out of fear, I do. But it's not my nature. So this business of you shall execute judgment and your eye shall not pity, and everybody who is not inherently righteous will observe that and fear, and so will probably, we hope, be well behaved. And again, well behaved and righteous are not the same thing. And if we can't have righteous, at least we should have well behaved. That's what's being said there. So, come back to what I said, legal, just, and fair. Legal is a procedural thing. Do you apply the same procedure to everybody in your court system? And we're having trouble with that. But that's mishpat. Just is, do your laws and the results that you get correspond to what God says are just? And then we get fair. That's entirely subjective. We're all made in the image of God. And we all have this built-in, innate sense of justice. How many two-year-olds do you know that say, that's not fair? It's one of the first things that come out of their mouths as soon as they learn how to speak. And that's built into all of us. And as children, it is entirely self-focused. In other words, my sense of justice is with respect to me and what I want. That's the way we are initially. And that's how that sense of justice that God has built into us initially operates. As we grow and mature and learn, one hopes that we will get a sense of justice where we say, all right, officer, you're right. I was speeding. Give me the ticket. Don't like it, but it's just. As opposed to, oh, me? No. I mean, you're not giving me a ticket, are you? Certainly not. I mean, that wouldn't be fair. My gerbil is sick. Okay, that's the sense of fairness, which is entirely personal. And what we have done in our society is several things. One is by kicking God out of our school system, we have ceased to transmit faithfully the Word of God. So we are not acculturating our children to God's standards. And, you know, the original catechism was, well, we can't have any particular religion taught in school. You'll teach that at home. Well, there isn't any way that an hour or two of Sunday school is going to overwhelm 40 hours of indoctrination in the school system. And the second thing, of course, is that the schools have become, they didn't start out that way, have become institutionally hostile to Christianity. So what the schools now allow are things that Christians say are an abomination. That's not neutral. If you are allowing things in your school that one religion regards as blasphemous, it is not being neutral anymore. And in fact, neutrality is not possible. It simply can't be, because everybody has a set of standards that they bring with them. They may be rotten standards, but we all got them. So what's happened is we have ceased to teach our children the principles of God, and we now have generations that are coming up who don't have a grounding in the Torah. They don't know what God's standards are. So what they fall back on is what feels fair. And again, that's based on what somebody's opinion is as opposed to what God says. And you get somebody charismatic and he's got a strong opinion about something, and you wind up with all sorts of weird laws. For example, Roe versus Wade. That was some judge's opinion. Just was. And he was in a position of a judge, and he was disconnected from the Word of God. So, oh, well, yeah, that seems fair. I mean, the government shouldn't be able to tell a woman what to do with her body. So what you wound up with then is man's standards. And that's where our legal system is pretty much today. Now, let me take you to Romans. Everybody likes Romans 13. I do too, actually. So let's go to Romans 13 for a minute. Verse 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. You know, he's talking about the emperor, who is a pagan. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. In other words, there's going to be a court system and a legal system, and by golly, you better obey. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Oh. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. By the way, who defines what is good? Ah, see, there's our first problem. Moses is telling us that God's definition of what is good is the ultimate standard. What we have here is somebody else's definition of good. You shall separate your trash into compostable and whatever. You know, all sorts of human goods have nothing to do with God. By the way, I don't have any problem with separating trash. I'm just using that as an example. So continuing. For he is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger. Avenger? Who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. So the first thing is, he is supposed to be an avenger. You're all too young to remember this, but when we were having debates in this country about capital punishment, people said, well, that's just taking vengeance. And the Bible says vengeance is wrong. You're not supposed to take vengeance. Capital punishment is just vengeance. We've got to get rid of it. And we did. No. What it says is the magistrate is supposed to execute vengeance. And we had in Deuteronomy today, when you get somebody who is leading you off to other gods, or when you get someone who is a murderer, you take vengeance on him. Not personally, but corporately. And what happens when the legal system ceases to execute vengeance is our innate sense of two-year-old fairness is, he ran over my dog. He deserves to die. And it becomes all subjective. And you get things like people committing murder and getting out on bail the next day. And what happens is the victims of that understand at a gut level that this is not just. And so what then happens is the trust in the system goes to pot because you don't trust that the system is going to produce justice anymore. And so the next thing that happens is you start executing justice yourself. That's the progression. When the judicial system ceases to execute vengeance, and I'm using that word deliberately because our society doesn't like vengeance, doesn't like to talk about that, but the Bible does. And the reason the Bible does that is because if the system does not execute just vengeance, notice I have two words there, just, zadik, and vengeance, if the system doesn't do that, we lose faith in the system and we start to do it individually. And then everything devolves into subjectivity and fairness. You ran over my dog, you deserve to die. Well, no. You may deserve a fine, but you certainly don't deserve to die over that. But the person who's lost his dog may well feel that way. And that's what you get. So what we're talking about here in today's Torah portion is that a justice system is absolutely vital to a well-functioning, healthy society. You got to have it. First off, for the unrighteous, which is most of us, you have something to be afraid of. That's why I don't drive 120 down I-25, because I'm afraid of getting arrested. You know, so I'm not particularly a righteous guy behind the wheel. But out of fear, I make sure I obey all the traffic laws. Now, stopping at stop signs and so forth is, however, different, because I do that because of the safety of my neighbors. So I'm not totally unrighteous, but I'm close. So the first part is the unrighteous should fear the law. The second thing is the righteous should be able to expect justice when they have been wronged. So if somebody, God forbid, kidnaps a child or something like that, then the one who is injured ought to be able to expect justice. Because if he doesn't get justice, then he loses faith in the system, and then we start getting what we have today where anything goes. It's really important that you understand it, because Moses says that in a society you've got to do that. Now, the other part, of course, is that last one is standards. That's why you have to teach your children the scriptures. That's why they have to understand how you get from put a fence around the pit to a stop sign. There's a connection there. You got to teach that to your children so that they understand which laws are arbitrary and which laws are derivable from Torah. And they've got to operate accordingly. Man's standard is just what some dude thinks is right. And it's ultimately based on nothing but force. So you've got all sorts of man-made laws that do not go back to Torah, and that's just somebody's opinion of what's right, and it's based on nothing but force. And by the way, you see that in social media, where you have these Twitter storms where everybody just gets righteously indignant over something. And in fact, I think the latest one is this brouhaha over the football player that was adopted by a family and so forth, and he's now saying it was all a scam. And they made a movie of it called The Blind Side, starred Sandra Bullock, great movie. She got an Oscar for it. So all of a sudden, everybody in the internet is turning around and saying, she should give back her Oscar. What? Regardless of the merits of the case between this football player and that family, what does Sandra Bullock have to do with any of that? And my point is, that's what happens when you lose track of God's standards and everything becomes subjective. And that's what you want to avoid. And unfortunately, sadly, that's where we are. Need to get back.